الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل والسمع والطاعة ويقول الحق سبحانه أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. All praises are due to Allah, Lord of the worlds. And surely the best reward ultimately is for those who have taqwa. And surely there is no animosity except for the oppressor. And I bear witness that Allah is one and has no partners, and that Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, is his servant and his last messenger. And may Allah always and constantly send peace and blessings to Muhammad, to his family, to his companions, to all those who call to his way and establish his sunnah to the day of judgment. As to what follows, I begin by reminding myself and you to surround ourselves and to live with taqwa. And that is the consciousness of Allah. That is keeping our duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remembering Allah in everything that we do. And I remind myself that we need to listen to the words of Allah, to obey the words of Allah azza wa jal, because He has revealed to us in a way that would be relevant to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam over 1400 years ago, and continue to be relevant to us unto the day of resurrection. And that is that, O you who believe, fear Allah in the way He should be feared, and do not die except in a state of Islam. O you who believe, as we go through the events of the world moving toward the day of resurrection, we have to remember that the words of Allah, Kalamullah, Al-Munazzal ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the bottom line. This is the only truth that we can ultimately depend upon, along with the authenticated words of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who explained what was in the last revelation. And Allah is telling us that we need to the best of our ability, to have the consciousness of Allah, to strive to our best standard that we can reach, and that we need to try to ensure in the best way that when we leave this world, that we leave in a state of Islam. This bottom line is something that we need to remember as the politics of the world shift to the left and it shifts to the right. This bottom line is what the young people need to remember, the most important element in your life, more important than your money, more important than your fame and reputation, is your deen. It is your Islam. Because that is the essence of the struggle that has been going on from the beginning of time. O you who believe, last Monday, as I was flying over a section of the Middle East from the Emirates, we flew just north of Iraq and Syria. And on looking down at the land, having come from Dubai, coming from the Emirates, it was two worlds. On looking down and thinking about what was happening below, that we are witnessing one of the worst genocides of civilian population since World War II. Nothing in its savagery, in the clear evil, has manifested itself in the way that we and the world, because of now technology, are watching day by day. Over 450,000 people killed. Millions of people displaced, sent around the world. But the strange phenomena of the dunya that we are living in is that people are living in different worlds. Although we are in the dunya, in some cases it's difficult to relate to people in other parts of the world. In Dubai, we went to a place they call the Miracle Garden, with flowers everywhere, a fantasy dreamland, and people taking pictures of themselves in a fantasy dreamland. And I wondered to myself, people are in a dreamland here, eating the chocolates and thinking of the fantasy, and other Muslims are starving to death and living in what is described by some people as a living hell. Two parallel worlds. But everybody is in motion. Everybody is in motion. And one thing that is sure, that we all must taste death. We all must make the transition out of this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 35, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَنَبْلُوَكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Allah has revealed every soul must taste death. And we will test you with good things and evil things as a trial. And you will all return to us. And so the dunya in some cases for people is a trial of shar, of evil, of pain, of suffering. For other people it's a trial of khair, it's a trial of good. And that might sound strange. And it might even sound stranger that many of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, when they were with him, they said, we were living in darra. We were living in difficult times. Sometimes we didn't have food to eat. We saw our families die, but our faith was strong. And then after he died, and the wealth started to pour into Medina, they said we were living in sarra. We were living in times of ease, and now we're not sure about our faith. So in many cases, and it is a strange thing to say, and no human being should be subjected to punishment and evil and suffering. But if we look at life as a transition from the short dunya into the barzakh, into the akhirah, then in many cases the people who suffered for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and went into the barzakh and now met the hereafter will ultimately be better off than the ones who thought they were living in a paradise on earth, in a miracle garden, and they will turn and find the next life to be a punishment. Wal-iyadu billah. We have to remember that the crisis in Aleppo and Halab, in Syria, it is not an isolated incident. It is an ongoing assault on the Muslim world. And with people being evacuated out of Aleppo, and inshallah we have to pray that they can all come out of there safe. But that's not the end, because Idlib is there. This is a process that we are going through. But the difference is, we have seen the genocides in Bosnia, in Kashmir, in Yemen, in the Central African Republic, in Iraq, in Afghanistan. We have seen it, but it has never been so brutally clear as what we are seeing and facing right now. Innocent people living under barrel bombs, missiles, chemicals, and the world is very slow to move, stagnated in political differences. The bottom line, as many of the great ulama have told us in this time, is that the struggle is not based on aradi wa hudud. It is not based on land and borders, but it is aqidah wa wujud. It is based on belief and very existence. This is an existential struggle. And there are those who are committed to put out the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are committed to do this. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not speak from himself. He spoke from above seven heavens. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his life, has given us understanding of what would come ahead. He has given us an understanding of the greater picture of things as we suffer through the minor picture that comes in front of us. And in a tradition reported by Thoban radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allaha zawa li al-ard, faraaitu mashariqaha wa magharibaha, wa inna mulka ummati sayablughu ma zuwiya li minha, wa utitul kanzain al-ahma wal-abyad." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, "Verily, Allah showed me the expanses of the earth. Inna Allaha zawa li al-ard." He opened up the earth to him. And he informed me, as the Prophet ﷺ said, he showed me the east and the west, and he informed me that my ummah would spread over and possess all that I saw of the earth. And I have been given the treasures of the white and the red, meaning the Byzantine Roman Empire and the Sassanid Persian dynasty. And then the Prophet ﷺ continued, because in his mind, and this is one of the beautiful things about our beloved Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he cared about his ummah. And he's always praying in dua, ummati, ummati, praying for the ummah. And in this case, his tradition informs us that the Prophet ﷺ said, وَإِنِّي سَأَلْتُ رَبِّي لِأُمَّتِي أَنْ لَا يُهْلِكُهَا بِسَنَةٍ عَامَةٍ وَلَا يُسَلِّتْ عَلَيْهِمْ عَدُوًا مِنْ سِوَى أَنفُسِهِمْ يَسْتَبِيهَا بَيْضَتَهُمْ وَإِنَّ رَبِّي قَالَ لِي يَا مُحَمَّدٍ إِنِّي إِذَا قَدَيْتُ قَدَاءً فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُرَدْ وَلَا أُهْلِكُهُمْ بِسَنَةٍ عَامَةٍ وَلَا أُسَلِّتْ عَلَيْهِمْ عَدُوًا مِنْ سِوَى أَنفُسِهِمْ فَيَسْتَبِيهَا بَيْضَتُهُمْ وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَقْطَارِهَا. So the Prophet ﷺ then said, I beg my Lord not to allow my ummah to be destroyed by a general catastrophe and not to be conquered by an enemy alien to themselves, who would bring low their capital and leadership. He, Allah Azza wa Jal, said, O Muhammad, my judgment is irreversible. I have decreed that your ummah will not be destroyed all at once by a general catastrophe, that it will not be conquered by an alien enemy who will bring low its capital city and leadership, even if all of the nations of the earth were to rally against it. But then the Prophet ﷺ continued, and he said that Allah told him, but a group of your ummah will destroy the other groups or take them captive. And so a look into the future. And this hadith continues, and the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ الْأَئِمَّةُ الْمُضِلِّينَ. What I really fear for you is misguided leaders. And he continued on in this long tradition. And at the end of the tradition, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي عَلَى الْحَقِّ لَا يَدُرُّهُمْ مَنْ خَالَفَهُمْ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ. He said, and that there will constantly be a section of my ummah who will remain victorious, unaffected by the falling away of others, until Allah may he be praised and glorified, has issued his commandments for the movement of history. So the Prophet ﷺ spoke about a ta'ifatun al-mansura. He spoke about a victorious party. He spoke about resistance, that there would be Muslims who would resist, and they would stand even if everybody fell down around them. And that this would continue. And we look in our history and we see the onslaught that came onto the Muslim world. Even from the time of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the people did ridda, they apostated. And then later, after a time, crusaders came, waves of Salibiyin. They came into the Muslim world, slaughtering thousands of people. But the Ummah stood. Then the Mongols came. One of the greatest trials. And some people in the time when the Mongols came and killed 3 million people in Baghdad, the writers were saying, it is Qiyamah. This is Ya'juj and Ma'juj. It's Qiyamah that we're facing. But the Ummah stood. It stood. It withstood this murder, this savagery, and it bounced back. And so a ta'ifatun mansura continued, but now we are facing the evil leaders that the Prophet ﷺ spoke about. And in one hadith, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Yakunu alaykum umara hum sharrun min al-majus. They will be on top of you rulers who are more evil than the fire worshippers. Sharrun min al-majus. And sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We see it happening. Bombing of civilians, destruction of hospitals, killing of young people. What is the value in this? What is the value? What evil insanity can strike the minds of a person? But we, alhamdulillah, in this nation, we are not like the ancient Egyptians or the ancient Babylonians or the ancient Greeks and Romans. We have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah told us through the Prophet ﷺ that there would be a ta'ifatun mansura, that there would be Muslims who would resist, and they will stand regardless of what happens. What can we do here, far away, to be part of this ta'ifatun mansura? What can we do? The first thing is that we need to change ourselves. We have to first look within ourselves, to look at our own life, our family, our community. Because Allah told us very clearly, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change that which is in themselves. We are in a fitna. We are in a trial. And one of the descriptions of fitna is coming from how they clean metal with fire. It is purified with fire. We are in a major fitna all over the Muslim world. And we have to look at ourselves. It is reported that Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, when difficulty came with the troops, when Muslims were suffering, he did not look at the numbers of soldiers. He did not look at the weapons. But he looked at believers. What is our practice of Islam? What is our relationship to the Sunnah? Are we for real or are we not for real? So the first change we can all begin is within ourselves. And that is the beauty that Allah said, when that change comes within us, He will change the conditions. And this is what has happened in the darkest days. When Muslims thought it was the end of time, when they changed something in themselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the conditions. And they went from darkness into light. Number two, that we constantly make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the day and in the night, every time we pray, to pray for the people in Halab, the people in Idlib and Mosul, and all the areas where Muslims are suffering. to make dua constantly for this. As quiet as it's kept in Yemen right now, every 10 minutes there's a baby dying. It's a humanitarian catastrophe in Yemen. So we need to constantly make dua for our people. And right now, make the dua to help the people in Halab itself to come out of this extreme circumstance. Number three, to fast, to give sadaqah, to do whatever we can, dedicate hasanat toward uplifting the ummah, to lift this evil off of us at this point of time. Number four, that we join efforts on the ground, local efforts, international efforts, right here in this masjid. Our students have a petition, you know, which they, alhamdulillah, get signatures for the petition. We also have Befriend the Family program, a second wave of people coming in from Syria, right here in this center. So we can do something. They'll be outside right afterwards. International efforts. There are webinars going on. There are demonstrations happening. To do something, to say something, to do something, to give of our wealth. And remember, this is not an isolated incident. It is a process. It's a process of those who would love to put out the light of Allah, but alhamdulillah, they will never put out the light of Allah. Number five, that we can speak to our representatives, speak to our political representatives, demonstrate, write in, whatever we can do to force an end to the fighting. Force an end of the genocide and slaughter happening in the Muslim world. And we need to make an intention within ourselves as part of our deen activism. This is beautiful as our students are active, sign the petition. So the students are now making an action. That's the younger generation we want. A generation that doesn't just stand still, frozen, but move to do something to help and make special dua for the mujahideen. There has to be the true Ta'ifatun Mansura that will have to stand up. Not extremists who are killing innocent people, but the true strong Muslims, adhillatun alal mu'mineen, a'izzatun alal kafireen. They are humble to the believers and they are mighty in the face of disbelief. A balanced Ta'ifatun Mansura. We have to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring forward this ta'ifa and to help us to be part of this ta'ifa who can take a stand to defend the innocent and the weak in the ummah who are suffering now. Because politics is not going to work. Politics has turned into polytricks. It is a form of trickery that is going on in the name of so-called democracy. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this nation in the past to come out of the most extreme circumstances and to bounce back. And we only can pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us to change what is within ourselves, to change what is we can do around us, and will help this ummah to come out of this terrible situation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the children of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the dignity and the honor of the women of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect and guide the men of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah raise up leadership, balanced, strong leadership in the ummah to take us from darkness into light. And may Allah make our last words and all those who are dying in Aleppo, dying in other places, may Allah make their last words and our last word, kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب استغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. وأصلي وأسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم وبعد. فيقول الحق سبحانه مخبرا وآمرا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وارض الله عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبو بكر عمر عثمان وعلي وعنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أنس المجاهدين في سوريا، اللهم أنس المجاهدين في فلسطين وفي كل مكان يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا وتولى أمرنا واحفظ أولادنا واستر عيوبنا وطهر قلوبنا واختم بالصالحات أعمالنا يا كريم. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. عباد الله يرحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقيم الصلاة.